The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Pentecost is from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the second and third chapters. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him?" He said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately had held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, our Lord Jesus says. And this is a profound statement from our Lord, one that affects in every way how we ought to think about the third commandment, which of course is remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. To understand what our Lord means here, we first need to look at the context of what's happening there in our gospel lesson in Mark chapter 2, and as it extends into chapter 3, the fruits of what Jesus says there as he indeed heals on the Sabbath. The Sabbath day, of course, Saturday, the seventh day of the week, Jesus and his disciples are walking through the grain fields, and they get hungry, so the disciples pluck some heads of grain to eat. But as we so often see in Jesus' ministry, there were Pharisee spies embedded among their company. They were watching and they were waiting just for the right opportunity to discredit Jesus, to label him as a false prophet and to try to reestablish themselves as the premier interpreters of God's holy law. Well, time and time again in the Gospels, the Pharisees fail. They fail to snare Jesus in their traps. Jesus simply will not allow it. And once again, in our gospel reading, it is they, the Pharisees, who end up with their foot securely lodged in their mouth. So when the Pharisees witnessed Jesus, and as the disciples are walking with him, when they witnessed the disciples plucking grain, they pounced, they jumped on it. Look at that, look! That's what the first word is there. Ah, see! Gotcha, Jesus. Plucking grain, that counts as work on the Sabbath day. You can't possibly excuse your disciples breaking the third commandment, can you, Jesus? See, we have it right here. Deuteronomy chapter 5, which of course is our Old Testament reading. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath to your Lord, on it you shall not do any work. That's about as clear as it gets, right? I mean, even the word Sabbath itself means rest, or quite literally, to cease from work. So no work allowed on the Sabbath. But what about plucking grain if you're hungry? Or what about healing someone, as Jesus does with the man with the withered hand? Does that count? Does that count as work on the Sabbath? Is that breaking the third commandment? Well, for a legalistic Pharisee, the answer is yes. A Pharisee who is clueless when it comes to the actual intent behind the commandment, the actual reason why God gave us the third commandment. Instead, they reduced it to a mere obligation, something, an item on their checklist that they just simply had to check off on their quest in order to become righteous and holy before God. Not only that, these Pharisees had added even more to the law, the third commandment, all the law, but this commandment especially, they added 39 man-made prohibited activities that you could not do when you remembered the Sabbath, prohibiting such things as writing or even erasing two letters. We're not talking about letters like, dear mom, here's my day, etc. Letters, like alphabetical letters. Writing or erasing two of them, prohibited. Starting or putting out a fire, that's dangerous. Making two loops with a sewing thread, baking, and of course, sowing seed, plowing, and reaping the supposed great sin of the disciples. Man-made, Pharisaical legalism. It is a grievous sin. A grievous sin. It is the anti-gospel. It is anti-gospel. Christ, because it proclaims ourselves to be Lord and Savior, as if we can earn our own righteousness, merit our own salvation, and not Jesus. So it takes away from the work of Jesus, and it puts it on ourselves. This is a sin that we are all tempted with. Like the whitewashed tombs in Jesus, as Jesus repeatedly warns against the Pharisees, we too must be on our guard, lest we find ourselves honoring him with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. Teaching in vain, worshiping him in vain, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. None of us is righteous in and of ourselves. We don't have a righteousness of our own. It is only by God's grace, as we sang in that beautiful hymn just now, it is only by God's grace that Christ's righteousness gets credited to us. But we sinners still wish that we had our own righteousness. We want to have our own righteousness. We want and we wish that we could be our own Lord and our own Savior. So we come up with things, manageable things, that a to-do list, a list of man-made rules that we think that we can actually accomplish. Things that make us feel good about ourselves. Like, hey, look at me. I'm actually pulling this Christian life stuff off. I'm doing a pretty good job. Not recognizing the very heart of the law, which is to kill that self-righteousness. Repent. Repent of that and humble yourselves. Humble yourselves before your Almighty God. Have you never read what David said, Jesus, or what David did, Jesus says, as he responds to these hypocrites who should have known better? So this is a dig. Have you never read it? This is a dig on them. They have read it, and they should know better. When David was in need, and he was hungry, he and those who were with him, they entered the house with the bread of presence, which is not lawful for anyone but the priest to eat. He took it, and he ate it, and he gave it to those who were with him. You never read that. See, in the Old Testament, the bread of presence consisted of 12 loaves of bread, big loaves of bread, 6 1/4 pounds of flour to make these loaves. And they were placed in 2 rows on a gold-covered table in the holy place every Sabbath day. They were meant to be a sign of God's continued presence there with his people. And after a week, then, the bread would be removed and replaced with fresh bread, and that old bread that was removed would be eaten only by the priests. And by the way, this was no man-made law. This was God's law, an actual command from the Lord. Leviticus chapter 24 states that. But then, in 1 Samuel chapter 21, we see David fleeing from the murderous, jealous rage of King Saul, hungry and in need, as our Lord says. Jesus says, he points that out, in need. David took that bread and he ate it. It was the already removed bread. Okay, it was already removed. It was supposed to be for the priests, designated for the priests. But he ate that and he gave it to his companions. So was David then a hero in the eyes of those Pharisees whom Jesus is talking to? Is David wrong or right for eating that bread? Perhaps a better question is, why? What was the reason? What was the intention behind this Leviticus command that the priests only would eat that bread? First, it was holy bread. It was used for a holy purpose, set aside for a holy purpose. So it makes sense then that we don't just discard it as if it's average, normal bread, but it is holy bread, and we discard it in a holy, sanctified way. And then second, the ministers of God, the priests, and their families, they too needed to eat and be provided for. So God was ensuring that the priests and their families would be provided for, that they would be fed. And third, most importantly, it all pointed to Jesus. All of it. It all pointed to Jesus, the very bread of life, who fulfills the law, including this ceremonial law in Leviticus. So where then does David's immediate need, his hunger, fit in? Well, as James says in James chapter 2, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. He goes on to say, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking daily food, and you say to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving him the things needed for the body, what good is that? Of course, it's rhetorical. It's not good. It's not good. You see, God is more concerned about a right spiritual condition of the heart than he is with an outward observance of a ceremonial law. God never intended his law to be a checklist. A checklist for you to make sure that you are holy, to make sure that you are earning your own righteousness before God. He never intended that. David's needs, his hunger, set aside even a divine regulation because mercy triumphs over judgment. So then, shouldn't the hunger then of the disciples set aside this Pharisaical man-made rule, this man-made law? Of course it would. Yes. You see, God's intention with the third commandment, giving us the third commandment to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, is for our good, for man. It is God showing his mercy upon us. It is a day for you to set aside and to rest in Christ. Where, dear friends, do you find rest? Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that's the thing. The disciples were right there in the presence of Jesus. You can't get any more Sabbath than that. Resting in Christ, in his presence, the fulfillment of the Sabbath, what it was all pointing to, the very bread of life himself, was there with them. Jesus says, "The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, not simply because he is the one who issued the third commandment, which he did, but he also is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. Jesus Christ is that rest that it always was pointing to. He has done all the work by dying and rising again. He has done all the work so that you may rest. His death and his resurrection bring Sabbath rest to you right now and for eternity. You have rest in Christ. So, resting safely in his arms, we have total forgiveness, even for our anti-gospel legalism that we all share. In him, we have complete security. We have full comfort. We have true peace in Christ. And that is how we remember the Sabbath day, by keeping it holy. We remember, we set aside a day to rest securely in Christ, which the early Christians, free in the gospel, free in Christ crucified and risen, fulfilling this law, set aside Sunday as that day of rest. Not Saturday, but Sunday, because of course that is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. It's not that we aren't resting every other day of the week. We are. We are resting constantly. We set aside this day, though, however, to do the things that we don't always get to do, perhaps during the week. We set aside this day for gathering together in this place to hear God's word read and preached, both the divine law, which brings us to repentance, even of our legalism, and the pure gospel of Christ crucified for sinners of us, like us, freeing us from trying to have to earn or merit God's favor. We hear the absolution, that we may rest assured that our sins are indeed forgiven by Christ the crucified. We receive the Lord's Supper, the ultimate bread of presence, which feeds and strengthens us for the week that lies ahead. And we read, mark, and we inwardly digest the Word of God in Bible study, which enlightens us and draws us closer to Him throughout the week. So yes, on Sundays, on the Sabbath day, you're free. You're free to write or erase two letters if that's your choice. You're free to build a fire, and for goodness sake, please put one out if you see one. You're free to quilt. You're even free to patch that hole in your jeans. You can pluck grain. You can do your chores on the farm. You can do some housework if that's what you choose to do. And thanks be to God, you can still bake. The Sabbath was made for man, for your good. The man, not man for the Sabbath. God gave us the third commandment for our good. So sit back and rest. Rest in joy and peace. For there is no greater rest than the rest that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.